claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer with a lot of grim news today. We know the big picture here of the Great Reset. We know they have a three-stage sequence to wipe out most of the world's population, and it appears to return us to a feudal society, not just figuratively, but literally. In other words, I think there's a massive effort to destroy technology and to take us back to a time where you have the masters ensconced in their castle surrounded by moats and the rest of us slaves and serfs toiling in the field. One of the efforts that's indispensable is to reduce the ability of the United States, to weaken the United States. The United States is the greatest obstacle to the Great Reset, especially because we have over 150 million armed Americans who don't want to put up with shit. They don't like that. They want to take away the guns. We also have a leader who has been highly inspiring to most of the population in Donald J. Trump. Now, he has his flaws. There's no doubt about it. On the other hand, as president, he made us economically viable. He made us energy independent. He strengthened the economy in a massive way so that the lowest earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. The indication way back in 2019, Erasmus and Paul, shortly before the election, showed that 40% of black likely voters were going to support Donald Trump. The Democrat Party cannot win an election if they don't have 80 to 90% of the black vote. They've also been counting on the Hispanic vote. They have thought that bringing these massive numbers of migrants across the border is going to help them, and they want to keep them healthy. So they're not giving them the jab. They're not giving them any COVID review. They're bringing them in, flooding the country, changing the demographics, recruiting them into the military. The vax has been such a brilliant instrument because if it kills you, it can incapacitate you, and it's got also be used as a lever to separate good men in the military from the remnant that remains, where they're going to be replaced with migrants. The great benefit from the point of view it being advanced here is that they're willing to shoot on the American people. They are nullifying the American military as a force that can defend the nation. They want to take our guns away from Americans because that's a force that can be used to oppose a tyranny. That's why the founding fathers created the Second Amendment, that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So we're getting in order to undermine the Second Amendment, we're getting a whole slew of stage events. And mark my words, these are phony events. These are false flags. I have been doing everything I can to expose them. And the deep state has been retaliating. Six of my books have been banned by Amazon. This is unheard of. And it's because I bring together groups of experts who are going through the evidence, sorting things out and figuring out what really happened, and by God, it contradicts the government narrative and leads back to the government, which is why they call us conspiracy theorists. Conspiracy theorists are exposing crimes. That's why they want to silence us. Crimes that lead back to the government. So what do we have going on here? They got to weaken Donald Trump. They got to take our guns. We have the January 6th committee taking place. Totally ridiculous. All kinds of gross exaggerations. Well, they won't let strong Republicans who know the facts like Jim Jordan on the committee. Instead, they put weaklings like Liz Cheney, who is one of the more disgusting members of the Congress today, whose political career is no doubt going to be nullified in prompt order here if we have another election, but where, in my opinion, they're working very hard to circumvent having another election. I think the two strongest options are some kind of imposition of martial law or another outbreak. The best I tell is that the 5G can be used to activate ingredients in the vax and create the effect of Marburg syndrome where you're bleeding from every pore. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to terrify the public, which will be willing to surrender their freedom for what they think is a false kind of security by the government. Never before in history, of course, were people who were uninfected, locked down and contained, isolated and quarantined. In the past, it's only been the sick. You've heard all this before, but it's coming to pass again. The whole idea of electric cars, which are just a calamity, they're inefficient, they're highly expensive, they require huge quantities of time to recharge. NBC recently talked about a trip from L.A. to San Francisco to compare the price of gas would have been like 143, but the price of electricity was 43, something on that order. I mean, gas was overwhelmingly greater. They didn't factor in the driving time. It would have been like 5 hours if you took the electric and 5 hours gas, 12 hours by electric. They have a limited range. The amount of time you have to sit around on your thumb waiting for your car to charge is ridiculous. You're going to spend time in convenience stores, fast food, damaging your health by eating things you shouldn't be eating, even if they're irresistible. The whole electric thing is based on the fraud of global warming, where Joe Olson, who's a fantastic engineer, qualified against across electrical, civil, mechanical, civil, structural engineering. The guy's fantastic. We've done a series on global warming that's predicated on a false premise that CO2 warms the planet. It doesn't warm the planet. Actually, it has the effect of cooling the planet in four different ways. And if you go back historically, over 600 million years of Earth's existence, that's not the totality of it, of course, you find no correlation between the CO2 and the temperature of the Earth. There's no correlation. Now, we know even when there is a correlation, as in the case of vaccination and autism, even when there is a correlation, or smoking and cancer, the industry has put up a titanic fight to claim that's merely a correlation, or as it were, an incredible coincidence rather than a causal relation. We know that's not true. We know there are ingredients in the vax that bring about autism. We know smoking does cause cancer. Even when there's a correlation, they want to argue it's not a causal connection. But bear in mind, if there's no correlation, there cannot be a causal connection. And in relation to the temperature of Earth and the amount of CO2, there is no correlation. Therefore, there cannot be causation. There are, of course, historic increase in the temperature, decrease in temperature of Earth that are relatively cyclic on a time scale that is, you know, a very, very large time scale. But the fact is, all this fantasy about global warming as a justification for getting rid of fossil fuels, which aren't actually fossil, they're produced by Earth as a natural process and is unlimited source. To cancel the XL pipeline, canceling permits on to drill on federal lands, this is all to reduce the availability of gasoline and drive up the price in an effort to convert us to electric cars that are going to be catastrophic. But get this. They'll also reduce our mobility. If you have an electric car, you're not going to make a trip across country. You're going to be staying around town. In fact, I think it's okay to have an electric car as a second car around town if you can afford it. They're very, very expensive. Ford is having so much trouble selling, they've cut out the dealers are making pitches directly to buyers to buy electric cars. It's going to be a catastrophe. And there's no way to dispose of the batteries. The batteries are a major problem. If your battery runs out, you have to virtually buy a whole new car. We have seen those who bought, you know, electric cars, rather than have to go in and invest, realizing it's such a fiasco, actually literally blowing them up. I mean, covering them with explosives and blowing them up. In Iceland, as I recall, or a Scandinavian country, it's just stunning what's going on here. It's all colossal bullshit. And they're running all these fake staged shootings, beginning with Sandy Hook, Parkland, Las Vegas, Buffalo, now Uvalde. These are phony staged events that are intended to provide an argument for taking away our guns. Now, most murders are committed with handguns, not with rifles. So the very idea of taking away our guns on the basis of these shootings and restricting access is absurd, not to mention the fact that if you look at Chicago or other Democrat-run cities, the number of murders that are committed is astronomical, astronomical. And it's just stunning what goes on because they never report the number of guns deaths that are taking place. Jonah Goldberg, who sometimes does very good things, was actually on a show with one Anna Navarro on CNN, and she was talking about how ghastly it was that so many kids were being shot, and Jonah sought to suggest, well, if we look at the statistics, which caused her to say children are not a statistic. He noted there are roughly 54 million children in school of America and that 170 have been killed in school shootings in the last 29 years. 170. He went on to argue, if we're going to tell people they should be terrified about their kids being dropped off at school, we should remind them kids are more in danger on the drive to school statistically than they are at the school. Very good point. Not only that, but of course, the whole judicial system, the whole criminal justice system has been attacked because blacks are supposed to be incarcerated and prosecuted out of proportion to whites. But that's on the assumption that blacks and whites are committing crimes at the same rate, which is overwhelmingly false. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. Blacks predominate in virtually every single category of crime across the nation, except for liquor offenses, where the prevalence is by Native Americans because they have a genetic incapacity to absorb alcohol. We know. We have the ridiculous situation of Biden going on Jimmy Kimmel to talk about all his accomplishments, and he can't come up with a single accomplishment. We have UK school children to be fed bugs to stop climate change. This is stunning. We want the children to think about alternative proteins as a real thing for now rather than as food for the future. So trying some of these foods is central to the research. Bugs, unbelievably disgusting. Although edible insects are for now not widely sold in the UK, they form part of the diet of around 2 billion people worldwide, many in parts of the world where there's a long-standing culinary tradition of eating bugs, yes. So they want to destroy beef, they want to destroy meat. They claim that cow farts are contributing to global warming, but there's no global warming in the first place. Meanwhile, we're having all kinds of efforts to constrain access to energy. They're even trying to demonize liquefied natural gas plant. On Wednesday, there was an explosion, and they started to play it up as though this was irresponsible on the part of the company. We shouldn't have to live in fear just so gas executives like Michael Smith can get rich, said one local resident. I mean, this is pure propaganda, pure propaganda. Almost certainly this was orchestrated, but you do have accidents periodically. Now, I've suggested and reported many times, it's a three-pronged strategy. We're talking about using masks to kill us slowly. We know that masks cut off our access to oxygen. They kill brain cells, which do not replace themselves, unlike skin cells. They put a strain on our cardiovascular system. We know that it does tremendous damage, and there are collateral effects because children who are learning to speak cannot learn how to form words using their mouth because they're unable to see other people, adults around them forming words. We're having a calamity across a whole generation that's linguistic and neural development has been massively damaged just by wearing masks. And by the way, Fauci, Tony the Rat, knew already from studies of Spanish flu that masks actually don't prevent the spread of any of these diseases. The virus is so tiny and the mask filter is so coarse that the virus can penetrate any of these masks, even if they're, and even the existence of the virus per se, of course, has been open to widespread debate and doubt. But we know they manufactured the crisis. The fact of the matter is Fauci and others studied the Spanish flu and discovered most of the victims did not die from the flu. They died from bacterial pneumonia infections, which are promoted by, guess what, wearing masks. How does that happen? Well, if you're wearing a mask and you have all this exhale, all this exhaust coming from your body that is trying to, get rid of, expel, accumulated in the mask, and you're recycling oxygen-depleted air that's contaminated with all these elements into your lungs, and it produces bacterial pneumonia infection. So, as I say, mask killing us slowly. Then the vax. We know the whole vaccine was manufactured. We know it wasn't real. We know the Rothschild had already patents in 2016, 17, 18, skipping 19, to be released and reported to the public in 2020 for testing for COVID-19. The Rothschild had already patented it. You want to know who's behind all of this in the Great Reset? You don't have to look any further than Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, who is himself a Rothschild. Klaus Schwab is telling us in 2035 we'll own nothing and we'll be happier than we've ever been. What complete and utter nonsense. Would you be happier if you didn't have a home, happier if you didn't have a car, happier if you'd had none of the possessions, the personal possession that means so much to you? Of course not. How can they make such a claim? Well, I think it's two parts. One is they're going to use, apparently there's graphene oxide in the vax, and that this graphene oxide sets up a brain electromagnetic barrier so they can use 5G to even induce thoughts into us. I believe this actually occurred at the Astro World event where they had a surge toward the crowd. I believe it was an exercise of 5G on persons who'd been vaccinated. They only allowed persons who'd been vaccinated into the concert, so they can do a little pilot study to see how it works. So with this 5G, they can only create a new pandemic of Marburgs, from everything I understand, by activating at certain frequencies using the 5G. But they can even control your thoughts. So, yeah, you might be happier than you've ever been, but the thoughts won't be your own. They're destroying your own ability to make decisions for yourself. It is grotesque. But even though they manufactured the pandemic, the year before there were 38 million cases of the flu, then the following year only 2,000. You think 37,998,000 cases of the flu per annum just simply disappeared? No. They were reclassified, relabeled as COVID to generate a fear-induced panic in the public so they could bring about all these lockdowns that were never used before. Donald Trump was clearly played here. I would like to think he's figured it out by now and wants to repudiate the vax. He should do that. But while the vax has been very successful, it turns out there are many more who have resisted the vax. There's lots of lawsuits now. There's plenty of expose that this is totally fraudulent. We now know the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, the WHO are all bought and paid for, if not by Big Pharma, by the Rothschild industry. Now, the ultimate, the coup de grace, is going to be executed by mass starvation. So they're bringing about food shortages. I encountered a report I'm going to share with you today that ought to scare the shit out of every one of us. Listen to this. An updated list of USA-based destroyed food manufacturing plants. This holds a more 2.0, same perpetrators as 1.0. 4/30/2021, Monmouth Smithfield Foods Pork Processing Plant, 7/25/21, Memphis Kellogg Plant, 8/13/21, JBS Beef Plant, 8/24/21, Patek Meat Company, 7/30/21, Tyson River Valley Ingredient Plant, 10/21/21, Darigold Plant, 11/15/21, Garrett County Food Plant, 11/29/21, Maid-Rite Steak Company, 12/13/21, San Antonio Food Processing, Westside Foods, 1/7/22, Hamilton Mountain Poultry Processing Plant, 1/13/22, Cargill Nutrien Feed Mill, Lacombe, Louisiana, 1/31/22, Winston-Salem Fertilizer Plant, 2/3/22, Wisconsin River Meats, 2/3/22, Percy Dairy Farm, 2/5/22, Wisconsin River Meats Processing Facility destroyed by fire in Mauston, Wisconsin, 2/15/22, Bonanza Meat Company goes up in flames in El Paso, Texas, 2/15/22, Shearer's Meat Food Processing Plant explodes in Harrison, Oregon, 2/16/22, Indiana Louis Dreyfus Soy Processing Plant, 2/18/22, Bestview Farms, 2/19/22, Lincoln Premier Poultry, 2/22/22, Shearer's Food Protein Chip Plant, 2/22/22, Fire Destroys Deli Star Meat Plant in Fayetteville, Illinois, 2/28/22, Nutrient AG Solutions Fertilizer Facility burns, 2/28/22, Shadow Brook Farm and Dutch Girl Creamery burns, 3/4/22. 294,800 chickens destroyed at a farm in Stoddard, Missouri, 3/4/22. 644,000 chickens destroyed at Egg Farm in Cecil, Maryland, 3/8/22. 243,900 chickens destroyed at Egg Farm in Newcastle, Delaware, 3/10/22. 663,400 chickens destroyed at Egg Farm in Cecil, Maryland, 3/10/22. 915,900 chickens destroyed at Egg Farm in Taylor, Iowa, 3/14/22. Wayne Hoover Dairy Barn full of valves burns, 3/14/22. 2,750,700 chickens destroyed at Egg Farm in Jefferson, Wisconsin, 3/16/22. Walmart Distribution Center burns for 76 hours in Plainfield, Indiana, 3/16/22. Nestle Food Plant extensively damaged in fire and new production destroyed in Jonesboro, Arkansas, 3/17/22. 5,347,500 chickens destroyed at Egg Farm in Buena Vista, Iowa, 3/17/22. 147,600 chickens destroyed at farm in Kent, Delaware, 3/18/22. 315,400 chickens destroyed at Egg Farm in Cecil, Maryland, 3/19/22. Walmart Food Distribution Center catches fire in Plainville, Indiana, 3/22/22. 172,000 turkeys destroyed on farms in South Dakota, 3/22/22. 570,000 chickens destroyed at farm in Butler, Nebraska, 3/24/22. Major fire at McGrim Potato Plant in Belfast, Maine, 3/24/22. 418,500 chickens destroyed at farm in Butler, Nebraska, 3/25/22. 250,300 chickens destroyed at egg farm in Franklin, Iowa, 3/26/22. 311,000 turkeys destroyed in Minnesota, 3/27/22. 126,300 turkeys destroyed in South Dakota, 3/28/22. 1,460,000 chickens destroyed at egg farm in Guthrie, Iowa, 3/29/22. Maricopa, Arizona food pantry burns down, 50,000 pounds of food destroyed in Maricopa, 3/21/22. Rio Fresh onion factory damaged by fire in San Juan, Texas, 3/21/22. 76,400 turkeys destroyed in Osceola, Iowa, 3/21/22. 5,011,700 chickens destroyed at egg farm in Osceola, Iowa, 4/6/22. 281,600 chickens destroyed at farm in Wayne, North Carolina. 4922. 76,400 turkeys destroyed in Minnesota. 4922. 208,900 turkeys destroyed in Minnesota. 41222. 89,700 chickens destroyed at farm in Wayne, North Carolina. 41222. 1,746,900 chickens destroyed at egg farm in Dixon, Nebraska. 41122. 259,000 chickens destroyed at farm in Minnesota. 41222. 413-22, fire destroys East Conway Beef and Pork Meat Market in Conway, New Hampshire. 413-22, plane crashes into Gem State Processing, Idaho, potato and food processing plant. 413-22, 77,000 turkeys destroyed in Minnesota. 414-22, Taylor Farms food processing plant burns down Salinas, California. 414-22, Salinas food processing plant. 414-22. 99,600 turkeys destroyed in Minnesota. 415-22. 1,380,500 chickens destroyed at egg farm in Lancaster, Minnesota. 419-22. As your standard nation's premier independent distributor of organic and healthy food, destroyed by fire in Duffer, Oregon. 419-22. 339,000 turkeys destroyed in Minnesota. 419-22. 58,000 chickens destroyed at farm in Montrose, California. And believe me, they are just getting started. This is absolutely stunning. It's taking place all around you every single day. If you thought the Great Reset, the genocidal globalist agenda to reduce the world's population by as much as 90% or so, we are in a stunning situation. We must do something about this. I have two wonderful guests here who will address this, among other issues here. Sophia Smallstorm and Alex Scott, stand by. They are waiting to join me today on the show.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Before I bring in Sophia and Alex, let me mention a dear friend just Skyped the following. 11 teens die each day because of texting while driving. Maybe it's time to raise the age of smartphone ownership to 21. If gun controls actually work, Chicago would be Mayberry, USA. The Second Amendment makes more women equal than the entire feminist movement. Legal gun owners have about 300 million guns and probably 2 trillion rounds of ammo. Seriously, folks, if we were the problem, you'd know it. When JFK was killed, nobody blamed the rifle. The NRA murders 0 people and receives 0 in government funds. Planned Parenthood kills 350,000 babies every year and receives $500 million from taxpayers annually. I have no problem with vigorous background checks when it comes to firearms, and while we had it, let's do the same when it comes to immigration, voter ID, and candidates running for office. Folks keep talking about another civil war. One side knows how to shoot and probably has a trillion rounds. The other side has crying closets and is confused about which bathroom to use. Now tell me, how do you think that would end? Sophia, Alex, I'm just delighted to have you both here. Sophia, ladies first, give us some of your preliminary thoughts. I'm just happy to have you again.
My preliminary thoughts on what, Jim? All of those food.
Any, whatever you find most telling and salient, Sophia, I tell you that food list is just stunning, and I I think it ought to scare the shit out of all of us. Your thoughts?
Jim, when are they going to start destroying the toilet paper factories? Because seriously, you know, you're probably getting this information. We're getting this information from mainstream news sources, right?
Well, those kinds of events are all reported because they're big deals locally. So you could verify each and every one of those, I'm convinced. Go ahead.
So my questions are, if they're destroying that much, let's call it product or raw product, chickens being the ones that lay the eggs that they then sell, this has got to put tons and tons of people out of work as well, locally. The people who work on the chicken farms and other in those food processing plants. Are those people raising hell? Do we hear from them? I mean, these are people who are being disenfranchised, whose work is being taken away.
Yes.
So we must hear from these people, number one. And I want to tell you, I have a friend who has, I don't know, some, you know, relative who knows someone, blah, blah, blah. This was back when they started the whole COVID lockdown and the toilet paper shortage freaked everyone out. This man that my friend was referring to was high up in some supermarket chain on the East Coast. And he revealed to family members that the corporate headquarters, the top dogs, had laid out this, mandate that the store order one third less toilet paper than normal. That was the toilet paper shortage. The stores ordering less, which started the pandemonium, everybody running out of toilet paper. So I am thinking, if these chickens and all this food production is being destroyed, we have to hear from the people themselves, because they're the ones, I mean the people who work there.
Yeah. I love your look. If I could be convinced this is all wrong, I would be ecstatic, Sophia, because I'm a fear. We know about all the supply problems. We know there are shortages showing up. If it's not going to be this massive, I'd be tremendously relieved. So I like you raising those issues, and I want you to, expand. Give us more.
Well, I mean, I haven't thought this through. I just was listening to you today and almost turned it off because you were exercising your Marine Corps drill practice voice.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, so that's all. I'm just, this is a preliminary thought. Okay, so if this is true, did it come from mainstream news? If it's happening on such a local level, why aren't we hearing from the people who are affected? Before we're affected, we're end users in the supply chain. But the people who are actually employed in the production of this, they're going to be completely sidelined. We need to hear from them. They need to be raising hell.
But Sophia, they don't have access to the mainstream. I mean, if you're going to suppress, you're going to suppress those who are upset and unhappy about it.
Okay, but Jim, we have that whole social media phenomenon. That is not mainstream. I never use social media, but certainly I'm aware of it, as you are. Social media should be absolutely flooded with indignation, outrage. These people all have Facebook, or many must. I mean, please, is it all being censored? Is their outrage being censored? Well, the news reports that these production facilities are being burned and exploded and this and that, or are burning and exploding. We have to hear from these people. I personally want to see a bigger picture around this.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Social media, look, even Twitter, it turns out about half of the Twitter followers are bots or phony. Elon Musk is exposing it. It's been a sham. They use very sophisticated algorithms to sort out and censor massively on the internet. It's no longer a free speech forum. Among the very few that remain are outlets like Revolution Radio and a new Speak Free venue. Trump's social truth doesn't seem to have really taken off, but there may be others that are coming. Let me bring in Alex Scott, who has a long background in law enforcement, for his thoughts about any of the stories I'm reporting here that he regards as significant and worthy of comment. Alex.
Hi, Jim. Great to talk to you again, and Sophia. you know, just piggybacking on what Sophia was talking about, you know, if these are legitimate fires and destruction of poultry and our food supply, I think she makes a good point. You know, we're really not hearing from these employees. We're told that there was one processing plant where 3 million chickens were destroyed and the plant was closed down and 300 or more employees were fired. But again, we don't hear from those employees. So she makes a good point. But I can say when it comes to the fires in these plants, we know that these are real. You mentioned the Walmart plant, the big fire in Plainfield, Indiana, which is close to me. So, I mean, I know that happened. I saw the smoke and everything and talked to people who were there. So we know that these things are happening, but how much is being suppressed, we don't exactly know. And it would, you know, it's just strange because it's all food production, but you don't hear about distilleries being set on fire or manufacturers being set on fire. And it's, you know, it's much like during the beginning of COVID when everything shut down. You couldn't go to a doctor or a dentist or your psychologist, but you could go to the liquor store and buy lottery tickets. You know, it's just their priorities. Well, I started to say their priorities aren't set straight, but they really are, because this is what they want. You know, they don't want people to get the goods and services that they really need, but they want them addicted to pharmaceuticals and alcohol and nicotine and everything else.
Well, let me just say, we can verify each of these. I'll try doing some, and it's this outbreak is so extraordinary, because I would say, you know, of these, what, let me see how many, 65 reports, I would say virtually none of those fires or destruction ought to have taken place in the normal course of event, some tiny fraction. Let me see what I can do here, and you're welcome to do the same. Yeah. Alex, meanwhile, tell us about, you know, the use of these staged shooting events in order to promote gun control. It's all very, very bad, in my opinion. They're getting worse and worse, more and more amateurish. A Buffalo is especially embarrassing, clearly modeled after the Christchurch, New Zealand. You got the perp driving around with this weapon. It's a phony gun. It's all painted up. You see no shell casings ejected from the weapon. Points at body, people are falling, there's no blood, they're falling before they're shot. In the mosque shooting in Christchurch, he walked into a room and they were already stacked up at the end of the room and he hadn't fired a single shot. It's just ridiculous how bad some of these are, but the American public seems to eat it up. And I think, more tellingly, once you get a report of this, the politician, the political actors who want to take our guns, just treat them as though they're authentic and true, and never look back. They just use that as a catapult for passing new laws, especially under the emotions of the moment. Could you comment on any of that?
Well, it's hard to know really where to start, because they've ramped it up so much just within the last couple of months. And I've noticed now that even if just two or more people are killed somewhere, it's now a mass shooting, whereas in the past it was just a shooting took place here or there. We had another one yesterday in Maryland at a processing plant where I think three or maybe four people supposedly were killed. I've not really looked into that yet. But, you know, Jim, they want the most emotional impact, because people are driven by emotion. We don't have a society of critical thinkers anymore, unfortunately. And nobody takes the time to look into this or to ask questions, and immediately the media comes out with gun control and emotional stories of their children or their loved ones, and nobody ever asks questions. And especially in the Uvalde shooting, one thing I've noticed, and I don't know if anybody has talked about this or if you've talked about it, but you have all these children who survived this supposed shooting in Uvalde, but I've not heard one student talk about that was in that classroom the absolute deafening sound that an AR-15 shooting in an enclosed space would cause. It would be absolutely deafening. Anybody who's shot either a handgun or especially an AR-15 or a rifle, even outdoors with earphones on, it still hurts your ears. You know, I can't imagine being in an enclosed place and that many rounds going off, and that's not the first thing that you would talk about, is how deafening the sound was. Then on top of that, none of these kids really are showing any form of trauma. They talk about not wanting going back to school. But, you know, if you study, especially children who are exposed to something like this and severe trauma, they don't want to talk about it. They're very clingy. They often result in bedwetting. They pee their pants literally in public because they're so traumatized. But it's like it was really no big deal when you listen to these kids talk. It's just absolutely ridiculous, and nobody takes the time to research. Nobody takes the time to study this. Well, why aren't these kids showing any signs of, you know, real trauma or stress? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're making very, very good points, Alex. And, of course, we had, in the case of one of the alleged scenes, two different fathers on two different channels, you know, bemoaning the loss of their daughter. We even had a teacher who actually was making a reprise from Sandy Hook, Victoria Soto, was down as a teacher, playing the role of a teacher down in Uvalde. We had all kinds of inconsistent reports in the beginning. They're not allowing anyone. The school is now tighter than a drum, as though they were protecting Fort Knox, because they don't want anyone to get in there and see there are no signs, no blood on the floor, no pockmarks on the wall. I'm certain this is just like Sandy Hook. In fact, it appears to have been modeled after Sandy Hook, where the purported shooter, Adam Lanza, is supposed to have shot his mother and then gone to the elementary school to shoot 20 first graders and six adults. Here you have shooting his grandmother and then going to a school, and we can't reprise first graders. Let's make him second, third, and fourth. But it all looks completely phony and contrived. Let me say, I'm starting to verify these stories. The first was a Monmouth Smithfield Foods pork production facility on 4/30/21. I'm looking at a story from the Register Mail on 4/30/21. Thursday fire at Monmouth Smithfield Foods pork processing plant stays under investigation. I'll continue to verify. But while I like Sophia's skepticism, I think every one of these is going to turn out to be bona fide. And, you know, we need to look for a different explanation as to why the distraught employees are unable to take any steps. Here we got three-alarm fire at Kellogg's. This is the second one. Three-alarm fire at Kellogg's plant, 170 emergency personnel responded. Two Memphis firefighters sustained heat exhaustion. I'll continue to verify, but I tell you, we're going to find out these are all accurate reports. And therefore, I would ask Sophia to take that into account. Now, I know she didn't hear this list, and my delivery was intended to be emphatic. I think this is profoundly disturbing, and we have to let it sink in. Alex, you first, then come back to Sophia. Further thoughts?
No, I want to say something, please.
Go.
You already had a turn. Now it's my turn.
You're right.
Yes. Okay, so listen. Yes, we'll find out why the employees have been silenced or are so silent. We'll somehow try to figure that out. But Jim, or Alex was talking about the lack of traumatic behavior in the children and so forth in this recent shooting. I just finished reading a book which was an international bestseller, The Body Keeps the Score, by Bessel van der Kolk, K-O-L-K. He is a Dutch psychiatrist. He is working in America, though, and he has written a very detailed book. It's got tons and tons of research, studies, and different kinds of experimentation to see what can quell trauma in people. So this word trauma is actually a fairly new word in our language. Trauma is something that, you know, many people define it differently, experts, and then we all have the right to define trauma, but it's something that affects a victim, somebody who experiences something and changes them permanently, reconfigures their neurology and their behavioral responses and their thinking and all kinds of other related things. But these children and these people who are interviewed after many of these shootings show no signs of the body keeping the score, right? It's a beautiful title because it immediately explains the depth of what happens when a person is traumatized. It's embedded in their body.
embedded in their bodies.
Yes. Trauma changes you. And then the other thing that I was thinking about as Alex was talking was all those gunshots being deafening. We are so accustomed to TV shows and movies where there's all kinds of gunfire, and it's tolerable. You know, the audio in the TV shows and in the movies, it's not going to blast our heads off and blast our ears out. So we are not aware, as people in law enforcement are, people who are around gunfire, how loud it is and how loud it's supposed to be.
Well, listen, in an enclosed space, I think he's right that the kids would have been talking about, especially with a large number of shots that are alleged to have been fired. Let me just say I'm doing more research. Everyone is coming up. February 5th, Wisconsin River meat processing facility destroyed by fire in Mauston, Wisconsin. February 15th, Bonanza Meat Company goes up. 8/13/21, JBS meat plant. 4/30/21, Monmouth Smith pork processing plant. 7/21, Memphis Kellogg plant, JBS Patak. It's there, Sophia. These are actually taking place. All of these.
Okay. So maybe if they're taking place, we still want to know, are these people collecting unemployment? Do they have some kind of severance from the company? What is happening? Because their lives are going to be affected. And if
all of our lives are going to be affected. I mean, if there's this is part and parcel of the agenda to bring about a massive food shortage and starvation to clean our clock. And it's going on apace, which is why I'm so alarmed and emphatic about it. I'm profoundly disturbed that this should be the case, profoundly. And I know you share that concern about the work aspect. That seems to me secondary, frankly, that the people are going to be unemployed. The fact we're not going to have any food to put on our table, that to me is devastating. Alex, more, and then we'll come back to Sophia again. I know she has much, much more to say. Alex.
Well, you know, I haven't really kept up on the food processing plants being destroyed as much as I know you have. I'm more concentrated on these shootings and all these staged events that are going on. So if I could just get back to that.
Please.
You know, another thing people don't realize is people don't seem to analyze these stories. And just how ridiculous they are. And I think I emailed you, there was what to look for in these is, if you can, start watching news reports as soon as you can when this event happens, because so many of them are swept under the rug and they're never heard again. There was one man who claimed that he heard that there was a shooting at his son's school, and he drove to the school and broke a window out in his son's classroom, dragged him out of the classroom, but instead of putting him back in the car and driving home to safety, they ran to the funeral home. Now, you just taken a child who's been involved in a mass shooting, and you're taking him to a funeral home, and then I started hearing the whole funeral home thing over and over again. So, and I got to thinking, was this one of the staging areas? Was this funeral home a staging area? And we're also told that the police did not go into the building for 75 minutes to get this shooter. How did this particular parent get into the building and able to break a window? So it's just story after story that's ridiculous. Another grandmother said that her grandson, who is in fifth grade, which we later learned this is only a kindergarten through fourth grade school, was shot in the leg, taken to the hospital, and the reporter asked, well, how is your grandson doing now? He was treated and released, and he walked out of the hospital with two of the police officers that helped save his life. Now, I suggest everybody, if they can stomach it, go look for pictures of people who were shot in the leg by an AR-15 and ask yourself, could that person possibly be released from the hospital the same day, let alone walk? Even yesterday or the day before, when they had the hearings in Congress about this shooting, they had a pediatrician talking about the devastating wounds that he saw. Well, the devastating wounds that he saw don't add up with the stories that people were telling about these children who get wounded, shot, and released sometimes within a day or two or three days when they've been shot two or three times. It's just absolutely impossible.
Yeah, no, I agree. We had that at Sandy Hook with Maddie Wilford, who was supposed to have been She was supposed to have been shot in the abdomen and the chest with an AR-15, and the doctor, obviously a fake, said these were large caliber wounds, which of course is false, and that young kids heal rapidly, and she was going to be back in school. In fact, she had a wrist, bothered her wrist, sprained her wrist. That was going to take longer to heal than these wounds in the abdomen and the chest. I mean, just absurd. And then you had another Samantha Fuentes, who was supposed to have been shot in both legs. And now just days later, she's walking around with Band-Aids on her AR-15 wounds. I mean, Alex, it is insulting what they're shoveling. Even the New York Times had a story about how devastating or to the bones, how they shatter legs and all that when you have a small caliber, high velocity round like the AR-15 impact. I mean, they were admitting the damage, which contradicted the story we were getting from Parkland. I mean, it's just embarrassingly bad. And in Uvalde, would you believe, they brought out a pair of green Converse sneakers that had come, it appears, right out of the box because the laces weren't even tight. They claimed this was the only way they could identify their child. And there wasn't a speck of blood on the sneakers. The idea that she had been destroyed by the rounds was just ridiculous on its face. Matthew McConaughey, whom I've already regarded as a mediocrity, was brought down and put out to give a performance. He kept looking at his script. He didn't know his lines. He was making gestures that were hyperbolic, exaggerated, and ridiculous. And guess what? His wife came along with him, and guess what? She was wearing green Converse sneakers. Alex.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that and the whole Matthew McConaughey debacle. But, you know, so many of these cities that stage these, you know, they get funding from DHS and FEMA, has what Sophia's referred to as capstone events. And so I think when we come back, you know, we'll have a little more to say, both Sophia and I, on that subject. Sophia's written a brilliant newsletter detailing some of this.
Okay, we'll be right back after this break with Sophia Smallstorm and Alex Scott.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined today by Sophia Smallstorm and Alex Scott. Alex, you are making a point about Matthew McConaughey's fiasco of a performance. If he thinks he's going to gain votes in a campaign for governor of Texas or even persuade anyone to support gun control based upon that performance, I think he's sadly mistaken. It was ridiculous.
Well, it was, but, you know, I watched a couple of the links of that speech on various YouTube channels on the mainstream media, and the majority of the comments were just fawning. You know, they just thought that he was absolutely great, even though he was exercising the same talking points that the Democrats have been saying about guns for the last 20 years. But see, you put out somebody who's famous, an A-list actor who is handsome and who has that southern draw and can make people feel like he's relatable. So many people are just going to completely buy into that and not really listen intently as to what he's saying. But, you know, these people who achieve this top rung in Hollywood and the music industry, you know, they pay the price for that because their time eventually comes up when the system needs them to promote something. And this might have been his case, where since he's from Uvalde, which I find also another coincidence, he just happens to be from Uvalde and he's an A-list actor. But regardless of that, and even going back, you know, to the shoes, when he started showing those shoes, and you're right, they looked like they were brand new from out of the box. They were bereft of any scuff marks, any frayed laces, and especially blood. There was no blood on his shoes. You know, for a classroom that was covered in blood, and supposedly this young girl that got shot and could only be identified by her shoes, which I think is patently ridiculous anyway. So it's just all staged. And you know, I'm beginning every time I turn on the mainstream media, I just don't believe anything anymore. So much, even everyday stuff, is just staged and fabricated, and society and the citizenry, especially the United States, is just continuing to be brainwashed and brainwashed.
May I jump in here? The reason invited myself on Jim's show today was to discuss something I read about recently, which I had no idea about, and it's the police brutality bonds. So one thing we've been seeing on television for the last couple of years ad nauseum is this epidemic of police brutality, supposed epidemic, and it's usually a white officer shooting a black man, right? Killing him, wounding him. And what I found out was that cities are very reliable. Cities never default on payments, okay? So that's fact number one. So let me read from my newsletter. This was what Alex was referring to in my newsletter. So I'm just going to read. Once upon a time, maybe a few decades ago, a police officer shoots an innocent being. Whatever the reason, it is a tragic misfortune, and the person is paralyzed. A jury awards several million dollars in compensation, and the city for which the officer works does not have the funds. So it borrows the money in the form of a municipal bond, passing the interest and principal payments off to its taxpayers, who, by the way, have no say in the matter. Then more such tragedies happen. More money is needed, and the city resorts to paying off old bonds with money from fresh ones. The interest swells along with the debt itself as additional refinancings periodically occur. Thus, the debt is spread over successive generations of taxpayer residents. Now, here's the kicker: as Wall Street investors enjoy what are solid and reliable payment harvests, because America's cities never default. So here are some real examples. South Tucson, Arizona, will pay over $6 million in interest from a total of $14 million that they borrowed for a 1980 police shooting that resulted in a $3.5 million jury award. Okay, so juries give these awards to the victims if they survive, the families of the victims if the person is dead. And what ends up being a $3 million award swells into $14 million of a loan. $6 million of that is interest. Okay, now Chicago, $44.7 million was awarded in 2017 to a wounded victim. All right, Chicago cannot file for bankruptcy. And Chicago resorts to brutality bonds. These are these municipal bonds that they create, far more than any other city. So Chicago raised $709 million in the bond market between 2010 and 2017 to settle claims like $5 million that was awarded to Laquan McDonald's family. All right, Los Angeles ranks second in this municipal bond market. They have borrowed $71.4 million. New York City, the settlements amounted to $308 million in 2017 alone. So this is from a 2018 article I read in a magazine, Harper's. And now what we have to remember is this money, it's called blood money. That's the title of the article. It's not just for the blood that's already been shed. It's borrowed in advance for bloodshed that will occur in the future from these police brutality shootings. Now, we know, and I know Alex knows this very well because he has talked to me about it, his notes and comments and observations of a lot of these shootings where white officers shoot black guys in whatever, 7-Eleven or something, nothing adds up. So it occurred to me, are they staging these shootings so that they can float these bonds, suck dollars off successive generations of taxpayers, and Wall Street gets rich, and one family or another gets a couple million as an award? What do you think?
Nice issue. Alex, comment your thoughts. By the way, let me just add, whites shooting blacks is relatively rare. More whites are killed by blacks than blacks are killed by whites, whether it's police shooting or anything other. whites killed by whites and whites killed by blacks occur about 10 times as often as blacks are killed by whites, and blacks killing blacks is overwhelmingly what happens, 55 times more often than any case of whites killing blacks. So they look at, this is called special pleading, or the process of selection and elimination. Select the evidence you want to emphasize and eliminate the rest. All this business about the proliferation of white cops shooting blacks is just bullshit, but they've used it effectively to promote defunding the police, and they've got all these progressive DAs who are putting the criminals back on the street faster than they can arrest them. It's just stunning. The country is falling apart because of this sabotage to the criminal justice system. Alex, your thoughts?
Well, that's true. You know, they're going to politicize everything, especially if they can do so with between a white and a black issue. But these bonds, I mean, they really do exist, and payments are being made, and people don't realize it. I know our department over the years has paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars, and just for police officers who happened to place handcuffs on too tightly, and people lost sensation in their hands and ended up having permanent nerve damage. So they sued the department, or they sued the state, or they sued the city, and, you know, would get $200,000 or $300,000 from that. So it happens every day, and people don't realize it. You know, people think about other people, you know, police officers shooting and or killing a suspect, rather either justifiably or unjustifiably, but they don't think about the little things that police do, and sometimes don't do, and don't do intentionally. I mean, most police, when they put handcuffs on, they aren't intentionally trying to cause nerve damage to somebody, and will typically, you know, it's in almost every department, you know, you double lock the handcuffs, you make sure that there's enough tension on there where they obviously can't get away, but you also don't want to do any damage. And you ask them, you know, are these comfortable? And of course, everybody says, yeah, they're comfortable. Handcuffs aren't designed to be comfortable, but you know, we aren't intentionally damaging people, but you know, it does happen, and people are getting compensated for that. So it's little things like that that people don't realize. But when, you know, when you come back to these shootings, and I've talked to, I analyze these shootings when I see them, and oftentimes they'll have video surveillance, you know, a camera from a store or a street camera or something, and the person has, you know, claims to get shot, but there's absolutely no blood anywhere. One person in New York was shot three times and struggled to fall over, but there was never ever any blood. And, you know, like you pointed out before, Jim, it's a physiological impossibility to be shot and there not be an immediate presence of blood. So I think that they are. I think that they're staging a lot of these, and done through our commerce and contract law, because everything is based on Uniform Commercial Code of Commerce and Contracts. And the more money that they can get, including from these bonds, and the more that the elites can benefit from these bonds, the more they're going to do it. And now it's resulted to even staging these things. And I see it over and over and over.
Yeah, I think Sophia's brought up a very subtle issue here, the subtle aspect, easy to miss, about the financial incentives behind staging a whole lot of these events that the ordinary public, given the way they're reported, assume are bona fide and legitimate. Sophia.
Well, they put a lot of this bond payment into property taxes. You're assessed an additional property tax. This is what happened in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Residents got this extra property tax for a police shooting. The city paid that shooting off in 2015, but the tax was kept going to pay for new bonds. So this, what they do is, I described it this way, it's a familiar transfer of assets game. The little people at the bottom of the pyramid are willing to work hard. Each one pays a small sum to this monster fish that hovers in the murky water above them. That, you know, so police departments evidently have some money set aside for these kinds of settlements, but invariably when you have a shooting that, you know, creates all this brouhaha in the news, whether it's real or it's staged, the police department doesn't have the funds for that. So it turns to the city, and the city has to float a bond.
Yes, yes, yes. Alex. Alex.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't really know what more to say on that. People don't realize, we're taxed so severely anyway, and people don't realize what these taxes are for. We end up paying taxes, you know, for years, and they just get added. And because we're so used to paying them, we really don't blink an eye. We grumble a little bit. Oh, they added another tax. But what is that tax really for? Well, so many of these taxes are going to pay for things just like this. And there's hardly ever any outrage from the citizenry. You know, we created the, you know, in Boston Harbor, we got mad during the Revolutionary War period because there was just a 2-cent tax on tea, and look what happened. But people just, they get complacent and they get acclimated and they get comfortable with paying these taxes. Well, if I pay these, you know, I can, my life will go on as usual and there won't be, you know, it just happens over and over and over.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the nature of the mind has changed, the brain and mind. I'm very fascinated by this, but over the last couple of hundred years, so many people tell me that textbooks for children who walked on dirt paths barefoot to the little schoolhouse in the 1800s, the work they did, the problems they solved, it's like college level today. And yet everybody in America thinks they're brilliant. They're singularly brilliant and innovative. I mean, it's become such an individualistically, like, blown out of proportion mindset. You know, everybody thinks they're a phenomenon walking the earth. Nobody thinks they're ordinary. And so you give them a set of complex facts related to a school shooting or anything else that's happening, their health, for instance, they can't even begin to parse through all that, yet they're brilliant in their own mind. And you can't, there's nothing you can do to counter that because they'll just give you this stare and walk away. You know, people have been socialized to spurn and challenge. We've learned this from television shows where you're always interrupted. You know, everybody interrupts everybody on a talk show. Nobody listens. Nobody processes anything. It's just knee-jerk spouting whatever they feel like saying. So you can't reason with a person who just comes back at you with whatever they feel like saying.
Well, I think there's a lot to that. And, of course, we began with a social promotion of kids to keep them in the same age group when they were failing. Now they've gone to abandoning SAT and ACT tests to get admission into college. Now they're talking about abandoning grading. It's all supposed to be racially biased because minority students aren't performing as well as blacks, and yet Asians are outperforming whites. So Harvard's even gone to the extent of using race as a criterion to keep the campus from being flooded with Asian students who are more intelligent and more disciplined and apply themselves, while we have this, reverse discrimination for blacks that is doing them no good. Because when you have persons who are incapable of, you know, qualifying for graduation from a high school today, even with its relaxed requirements, as you quite accurately discern, in the mid-1800s, the elementary or, you know, lower level demands intellectually were far greater than what we have in high schools today for the most part. They're bending over backwards to accommodate a social agenda that is totally removed from ability, accomplishment, intellect, and capability. I mean, it's just embarrassingly bad. We're treating up people who can't do anything. They become totally dependent on the state. I saw some statistic that we have more on welfare today than are employed in gainful occupations in the United States.
Jim, that is the tunnel directly leading to UBI, Universal Basic Income. And, you know, people will be proud of collecting that. They will not even understand how they have been marginalized and set up to completely fail. Do you know Mark Dice, who he lives here in San Diego, and he walks the Oceanside Pier and Pacific Beach on, you know, weekends, and he'll interview people. And a recent video he did, he was asking, it was mostly young people, what Memorial Day was for, and they had absolutely no idea. And then he'll feed you a line like, oh yeah, it's to commemorate NASA, you know, landing on the moon or something. And people completely buy it. Oh, that's so nice. But they have no idea. And when they respond with, I have no idea, they're proud of it. They give this, you know, triumphant smile like, I'm not supposed to know. I mean, come on, you know, I can't know everything. And proud of not knowing something.
Yeah, proud of their ignorance. I think that's true. They don't not only don't know what they don't know, but they're proud of it, Alex.
Well, Sophia made a good point. You know, back in the 1800s, if you go back and look at a proficiency test or like an eighth grade examination to go to high school, most people would have no clue. They wouldn't be able to pass it. The 1860 census showed that the literacy rate in the United States was 94%, and almost all schools were private. They were for the public, but they were run privately, and they taught the basics, you know, the math, arithmetic, English, the classics. And then in the late 1800s, when the Rockefeller Foundation and other big industrial type industries were taking over control of literally everything, they jumped on education too. And you can go back and read their documents, and the people who wrote those documents said point blank, they don't want an educated populace. They want people who are just smart enough to do average work and to run the machines and to not answer any questions. But they don't want a group of critical thinkers. And ask yourself, do kids today, how many basic law classes do kids have in high school? How many, you know, kids aren't even taught the six elements of contract law, you know, and what's the first thing that happens if and when they go to college? They go to the bookstore and there's all kinds of tables set up for them to get credit cards. And then and that's when they start them on the credit card debt, because they know nothing about contracts, because we're never taught really important stuff. We're just taught, here's how the machines work. Here's how you run them. And all the best and brightest that they find, they get them into the elite enclave, and then they brainwash them from there. You know, you're really smart, but if you work for us, you know, you'll be rich and powerful. So this has been going on for more than 100 years now.
They can't even tell analog time anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but if people are always looking at their phone, and, you know, I made the comment all the time, because, you know, as a police officer, you know, part of our training is to be aware of our surroundings. Nobody looks up anymore. Nobody notices how the cloud formations have changed over the decades, and nobody is aware, because they've given us these smartphones and everybody's got their head in their damn smartphone. And they
have to say, I want to read something from my newsletter. I know what you're talking about, because you got it out of my newsletter, right? About people looking up?
Well, no, I've been saying that for a long time, but yeah, it was in your newsletter, but yes, you're absolutely right.
I read all these books over the last few weeks, and one of them was With the Old Breed. Jim, have you heard of this book, E.B. Sledge, With the Old Breed, about Okinawa and Peleliu, World War II, the two bloodiest battles in the Pacific?
No, I haven't, Sophia.
Unbelievable book. So this was a 20-year-old son of a doctor from the South, and he was a college student, and he was so anxious to join the fighting in World War II. His parents wanted him to go to officer training, but he didn't. He dropped out. He enlisted in the Marines, and he was sent immediately to Peleliu, which was a small island 2 miles by 6 miles, and then Okinawa afterwards, where there were two extremely bloody battles with the Japanese. Apparently MacArthur felt that the U.S. needed to take Peleliu from the Japanese in order to gain access to the Philippines. And Sledge, Eugene was his first name, but they called him Sledgehammer in the Marines. He was very slight of build. He has written the most gripping, detailed memoir of trench fighting, you know, in the trenches, where they received all the shelling and the word shell shock came to be, and we have now changed through a sequence of, you know, new terms. We are ending up with this PTSD term, post-traumatic stress disorder. But anyway, he wrote the most unbelievable book with the old breed. People who are interested in war or interested in real life experience have to read this. So he followed up. It was a bestseller. He wrote it much later in life. Apparently, he took all kinds of notes on the margins of his Bible. He was allowed to carry a Bible in his pack when he was fighting in this 115-degree heat on Peleliu and then in this freezing rain of Okinawa. I mean, full of mud and feces and dead, bloating, rotting corpses everywhere. Unbelievable. But he wrote a sequel called China Marine, because then he was transferred to what is now Beijing. Then it was called Peiping, and the nationalist Chinese were struggling against communist takeover, and the American Marines were there just as kind of occupational forces. So he tells a number of little anecdotes about being in China. This is like 1945. And he writes, China was a timeless land. Daily life moved unhurriedly along, just as it had for centuries. People were not rushing through life as victims of a time frame set by machines. They moved along calmly and enjoyed what pleasure and diversions their rich ancient culture afforded them, whether they were merchants or coolies. Now, he describes these incidents that would happen in Beijing when he and his pals were on their off-duty time walking through. There would be collisions between bicycles and pedestrians, right? So when this happened, when a bicycle or a rickshaw bumped into a person, often knocking them down, we're in China, Beijing, there would be such a crowd that would gather and all kinds of yelling. All these bystanders would form a circle around the two people involved in the crash. Yeah. No one would help. Are we on a break?
So yeah, we're about to hit a break, Sophia. We'll be right back with Sophia Smallstorm and Alex Scott. And because Mitchell's had to hit the VA for medical, I will be unable to take calls. I'm sorry for that. But we'll be back with Sophia and Alex right after this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm just delighted to have Sophia Smallstorm and Alex Scott here. Sophia, yes, tell us more about this events in relation to World War II and thereafter you are pursuing. And I'd also like your reflections on the January 6th Commission and all the bullshit going on here contemporarily. Go ahead.
Well, I was relating typical events that Sledge witnessed in China in 1945. These would be pedestrians on the street. So whenever there was a little accident between a rickshaw and a pedestrian, a crowd would gather and they would start all opinionating on what had happened. Everybody, huge crowd, the police would have to break it up. Everybody was gesticulating, arguing. No one was interested in the fate of the poor pedestrian who was hit by the rickshaw. Nobody helped. Nobody showed any sympathy. It was all simply argument. So now, having noticed this, one of Sledge, E.B. Sledge's Marine buddies, said to him one day when they were walking on Canal Street in China, in Peking, Beijing, he said, "You ready to draw a crowd?" And Sledge said, "Okay." So the buddy Marine walks into the middle of an intersection. He begins gazing up at the sky, and a couple of Chinese stop, and they look at him, and he's craning his neck, looking upward. Then he gestures for Sledge, his friend, to join him. He points up at the sky and just starts jabbering to Sledge, "Look, look, do you see it?" There's nothing in the sky. It's a clear blue sky. And this causes a massive throng to come and gather around these two Marines pointing at nothing in the sky. And everybody, hundreds of people, are now standing there going, "Ooh, ah," pointing at nothing in the sky. That's how copycat they got the people in China to be, to get all worked up about nothing in the sky, right? Everybody talking excitedly, pointing upward. So then the two Marines cross the street because the police start coming to break up this huge crowd that's interested in absolutely nothing up in the sky. And I'm reading this going, my God, so many times I come out of the grocery store or wherever I happen to be, and I look up at the sky and it's absolutely streaked with chemtrails. Phenomenon that is absolutely unnatural. I look up I make it clear with my body language that everybody should be looking up like me at the streaks and, you know, stripes and weird puffs and strange, unnatural clouds. I can't get anyone to do that. And you can get the Chinese in 1945 to look up at an empty sky. What do you think of that?
Alex, your thoughts?
Well, she's right. You know, we're deluged with so much social media and so much stimuli coming around us that we don't look up anymore. A lot of times I just find it fascinating because, you know, especially when I'm on a foot patrol, I am looking all around me and especially looking up. And I just see people will not even make eye contact with you. And I just find it fascinating that we've gotten so used, and this is all by design, and you both know this. You know, they designed these cell phones. They knew people were going to be absorbed in these cell phones, and now you can do almost literally anything on them. You can take pictures, you can talk, you know, you can get your navigation. And, you know, you see this from people that I talk to, and I'll ask them if they're lost, and they said, Google brought me here. And because nobody looks at maps anymore.
They don't even know how to read a map. People
no,
have
don't.
No idea.
They
no.
don't. And I'll ask people, they'll give me the wrong address or the wrong room number or something where they're supposed to be. And I'll say, well, do you have a room number? No. Well, what address do you have? I forget. Well, how did you know to come here?
Because Google brought
Because
them.
Google told me to. So it's just, you know, our society just continues to get dumbed down and dumbed down and dumbed down. It's not necessarily that the people are stupid. It's just that we don't have the education that we used to, and we're not being taught the things that we used to be taught in school. We aren't being taught basic map reading. We aren't being taught basic contract law in general. And this is exactly what they want. It's all part of the Klaus Schwab. You know, you'll have nothing in like it, which I find just like you said, Jim, just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I like the things that I have. You know, I'm not entirely materialistic, but, you know, I do like the things that I have and the place where I live. But this is all being done by design. And I really shudder to think in 20 or 30 years, the kids that are coming up now, how society is going to be.
May yes. I bring up Please. Something else?
Sure.
Somebody sent me a book recently. It was written in 1978, titled Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. Okay, so 1978, the author is Jerry Mander, which I thought was a bogus name, you know, gerrymander.
Yes.
But that was his real name. He was a partner in a very highly regarded San Francisco ad agency, Freeman, Mander, and Gossage. And he was working with advertising on television, and he found it to be extremely effective, easy to manipulate public consciousness by way of advertising shown on this thing called television. You could get people to do what they wouldn't have done had they not seen the little thing that you prepared and aired for them. And so he says, at first he was amused by this, and then he became absolutely shocked at how destructive the real nature of this type of technology was. Not that it could be destructive, but that it was destructive. And one thing he pointed out all the way back in the 70s when he wrote this book was that everybody who was watching TV then, and even now, let's call it hundreds of millions of people, they think they are choosing between different kinds of subjects. The people who watch the news think that they're learning about news. The people who watch, you know, program on whatever, dinosaurs or, you know, some nature program, think they're learning about nature, but nobody's learning anything. Everybody is having one universal shared experience, which is watching a screen. That's the reality. That's what they're all doing together. What they're quote-unquote learning is not true learning. It is simply what somebody else has prepared for them. It's all selective and selected. None of it is real learning. It's not organic learning. So that technology is the instrument that has made the people of America, and I can't speak for other countries where there's television, but certainly here, where people are told they have the highest literacy rate in the world and they are the best informed population. Mander, this guy Jerry Mander, says no. People have given up on understanding anything because they have been barraged, deluged with too much information. Whether it's real information, what's good information, bad information, it's too much. They've had an avalanche of this stuff that has snowed them under. And this glut of information, much of which is conflicting, it is dulling their awareness, not aiding it. He says it has encouraged passivity, not involvement. And that was way back in 1978.
Well, I think there's a lot to that. I would add that watching television or images is a lower level of mental engagement than reading a book, for example, which is a higher level of mental engagement. So the more you're looking at, you know, these icons, which look like or resemble what they stand for, rather than even causal relations, which are known as indices, much less symbolic communication, where you have to habitually associate words, for example, in a text with their meaning, requires an exercise of mentality that's far higher than what goes on watching television. So I certainly agree, regardless of content, that television, being an exercise of a lower level of mentality, induces a habit of exercising only a lower level of mentality, which is why, you know, reading books and book-based learning is overwhelmingly superior in developing the mind. So you're never going to get rid of television. I mean, clearly, that's not going to happen. It's here. The cell phone was a phenomenon that captivated the world in a way that no other product has ever done, with a possible exception of television itself. And I'm sorry to say, I mean, that those phenomena are not going to change, and they do have a dumbing down effect. So you see where no matter what the genetic predisposition might be under suitable circumstances of education to develop an active critical intellect, it's not happening because of the prevailing mechanisms of communication in society do not promote it. So I think in the end, that's the right conclusion, and there are additional arguments that may be even more far-reaching and profound. Alex?
Well, you know, over the course, I haven't had a television in probably a decade. If there's something that I want to watch, I'll just watch it on the computer. But I don't watch a lot of television programming because that's exactly what it is. It's just programming. And like I've told people, I've kind of jokingly, but true, the last couple of years, they've asked me, you know, hey, have you had COVID? And I tell them, no, I'm immune to COVID. I don't have a television. Because this is where we're seeing all of these so-called effects of COVID. But if you just walk out, if you hadn't watched any TV the last 2 years or listened to any radio programs, you wouldn't think that there was anything going on. You don't see people falling down dead in the streets like you did at first in China. We never saw that here. It's just all programming, and that gets us into a fear-based state. So everybody's like, oh, I don't want COVID, so I have to go out and get my shot, and I have to social distance, and I have to, you know, lock myself in my home. But and this is what's come from the television programming and from the programming in our social media now as well. And I think I may have mentioned this on your shows before, but if you watched movies, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and there was a television news program in this movie, they were always portrayed by actors, and the television station name was made up. But then starting around 2000, they got the idea, you know, let's start using actual news anchors and actual news stations. So now you see like Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper and all these other quote unquote celebrity newscasters. Now they're in films, you know, which leads me to, you know, the old saying, truth is stranger than fiction. Well, slowly but surely, truth has become fiction. Because now they're blending this, and now it's getting harder and harder to tell what's true from what's not true, because now we see all these media celebrities, not just on TV during their scheduled news programming, but in our movies as well, in our fictional movies. So they just blend all of this, and it's just a further psychological operation to dumb down the masses even more and more.
Well, I certainly agree with all of that, you know, life imitating art, but it's all, unfortunately, to bamboozle and manipulate public opinion in the United States, right along with all the stage shootings and everything else. I want to ask both of you whether you think we can work our way out of not the dumbing down. I think it's foregone that that's going to continue virtually unabated. But out of the Great Reset, are we helpless to do anything about it? Is our fate already determined? Have we lost our ability to make a difference? Are we all just passive sheep that are being led to the slaughter? Sophia, your thoughts.
Jim, we're differentiated by our generation. So this is going to be introduced slowly, just as everything has been, and the enculturation occurs, you know, generationally. So you and I are against the thought of not owning anything, not having any pride in, because your possessions are an extension of another concept I brought up in this recent newsletter. By the way, anyone who wants to subscribe to my newsletter can go to sophiasmallstorm.com, and on the left side, there's a little icon that tells you how to subscribe. But, all right, so this concept of your lifeblood energy, your energy that you produce in excess after you get your needs met, which is food and shelter. Many people, not everybody, not the absolute poor of the world, people don't struggle all day and all night to get their needs met. They have leftover energy, and that leftover energy results in the acquisition of possessions, because you make a little extra money that you don't have to spend on your needs per se. So you get to buy stuff, you get to do stuff, and people are proud of those extra accomplishments, going on a trip, buying this or that, and building something, hobbies, crafts, creations, art, music. And if we can't own something, I mean, what if you're a guitarist and you want a particular kind of guitar in the future so you can perfect your musical skills? You have to rent this thing? What does that mean? You only get it for a limited time? I mean, that concept is very strange and foreign to us, but it might not be to our children, you know? So that's, and to their children.
Well, do you think we can make our way, find our way out of this mix, or is our fate sealed, is the question I'm asking, really. I agree about the generational aspect that what's normal or typical or thought to be conventional can change from generation to generation. There's no doubt about it. But are we destined to be serfs and slaves? Are we going to succeed in eliminating 90% or more of the world's population, Alex? These are dismal issues to contemplate, but it's a situation we're in. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, you always hold out hope for something like this, and that, you know, the old adage, there are more of us than there are of them, meaning we the people versus the people who are in control, quote unquote. But, you know, especially over the last 2 years, I don't have a lot of hope, because when this whole lockdown started, especially in the United States, I thought, you know, how long are Americans really going to tolerate this? And I was very displeased to see that almost everyone did. They just go along. And I, you know, if they would have tried this 150 years ago, the citizenry wouldn't have stood for it. They didn't stand for it to a certain extent during, you know, the quote-unquote Spanish flu in 1918. You know, there were uprisings. People were like, you know, I don't really see anything going on. But, you know, we've become, as a whole, again, just dumbed down. And this has just been drilled into us. You know, listen to the experts. You know, listen to the science. So, you know, I don't hold out a lot of hope. I mean, I would like for us to turn this around. But it seems like every time, you know, what are the main ways to get people to listen to us? It's the major media, and it's owned and controlled. It's YouTube. How many people, including yourself, have been banned from YouTube? You know, we try and get the word out, and they shut us down. And yeah, we have platforms such as Revolution Radio, and we have BitChute, and we have Odyssey. But, you know, those pale in comparison to the subscribership of YouTube. So people are trying, and we should always try. But just in the back of your mind, you know, you need to get yourself prepared and get yourself ready. Because, you know, things are likely going to get worse before they get better. And that's
Pew has a new poll result. 80% of Americans don't trust their government. That's a rather astonishing figure. Back in 1964, 77% of Americans did trust their government. So you got from 77% trusting to 80% not trusting. That's a good sign, of course, but I also think it's just symptomatic also of a sense of frustration that no one can really tell what the hell's going on in the media isn't giving them any hand at all. Sophia?
Well, it could be that 80% don't trust the government, but who's going to do anything about it, you know?
Yes, I agree.
Do you remember Kitty Genovese in New York City?
Yes, yes. When she was murdered and all the people who were witnessing did nothing to help her.
Yeah, diffusion of responsibility. That's the situation we're in. We are in diffusion of responsibility. And everybody is spoken to by the screen. So the television was the precursor to the iPhone or the smartphone, the screen phone, where, you know, this is, you're not even living in your current reality. I have said this on radio interviews starting like 4 or 5 years ago. When people hold this thing in their hand and they respond to it, they're in another world. The third dimension is a container for the second dimension life that they're leading off that screen. So they don't even live in their reality. Why would they do anything about it?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that doesn't sound very optimistic about our being able to survive the situation we're in, which is calculated to take out by a form of genocide most of the world's population. I mean, what can be done? Sophia, do you see anything that anyone can do?
Yes, you have to read the book by Dr. Eben Alexander, neurosurgeon trained at Harvard, titled Proof of Heaven. That's what can be done. And when you read that book, Jim, and when you agree with that book, the entire world is going to change.
Proof of Heaven?
Yes.
I don't know. That sounds like, an afterlife. I'm interested in extending this life on this planet.
What if you can't do anything about this life unless you have one foot in a concept of the afterlife? I'm just being a devil's advocate here because I know a little about you.
Well, Alex, your thoughts here. I mean, I don't see how contemplating an afterlife provides us benefits in this unless it's to make people, you know, if it were make them more resilient. Marx described religion as the opiate of the masses because it gave people a willingness to tolerate insufferable conditions of servitude in the expectation they get their reward in the afterlife. As an agnostic, I do not believe in an afterlife, and I think Marx had it right. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't necessarily want to get into a big religious rabbit hole here, but you know, there's something to be said for this. It's pretty much been in mankind's history since the beginning, at least the thought of an afterlife. But, you know, there are so many different variations on this, depending on which religious background you may or may not be from. But, you know, I definitely don't discount it. And I think on a spiritual level, whether it's Christianity or any other religion or any other state of mind that you might have in reference to that, you know, I think it can help us here while we're here in this physical world. But it's often things that people don't think about. And, you know, Sophia was mentioning Kitty Genovese, and that was a very catalyst moment because, you know, for 38 minutes, 45 people just stood around and watched this woman bleed and did absolutely nothing. You know, have we completely lost our empathy for our fellow human beings? And it's just gotten worse since then. And I see it all the time. People get injured. And of course, if I'm there, I go assist. But people, the first thing that they do now is just take out their cell phones and start recording it instead of helping. You know, put down your stupid iPhone and help your fellow human beings out. And I don't understand why people don't do that. But, you know, I see it all the time. But I think it's just a learned response. You know, we're so self-absorbed into our, you know, into what we want that, you know, we don't care about anybody else.
So I'm just going to propose this, that the – sorry, Jim. I'll just say this very fast. That the reward, the sense of reward, personal gratification and happiness that we get from helping somebody, from doing something completely gratuitously out of the goodness of our heart, that's gone. That's not how people feel rewarded any longer.
Well, I appreciate your both being on. We're flat out of time. I want to encourage everyone to spend as much time as it can with their friends and loved ones. The situation, as I see it, is dire beyond words. I've certainly appreciated having Sophia back and Alex Scott again, and I look forward to their being back again. But don't miss an opportunity to spend time with the people you care most about, because we do not know how much time we have left. Have a weekend with those you love.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...